word will give you wisdom for tomorrow today. His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know he's sovereign in his ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider his word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. Today we're finishing up our series about how to pray for people when they ask for prayer. How many times has someone come up to you and said, pray for me? Or maybe in a prayer meeting, somebody would raise their hand and say, pray for me. It happens at our church. How do you pray for them? You know, they didn't give you anything specific. And usually when it's an individual and they come to me and they say, Pastor, pray for me, I will ask them, what would you like me to pray about? As you see, prayer is talking to God, not just going and asking God for things. That's part of it, but also listening to God in prayer. But when we pray and somebody says, pray for me, how do you pray for them? And I've heard people in prayer, they would say, well, Lord, I pray for Cindy today. What does that mean? You know, that's like coming to someone and say, I want to ask you a favor. And then you never ask them. Or you come and say, I want to talk to you. And then you never make a request or say anything to them. When someone says, pray for me, how do you pray for them? We're learning in Colossians chapter 1 about how Paul prayed for the church at Colossae. What he told them that he would be praying about. And I think it's a great tool to teach us how we can pray for someone when they ask us. We're going to be in Colossians today, and I hope you'll join us as we consider His Word. This is a great time, as we think about prayer and praying for someone, to write to us and receive one of our little prayer journals. We're giving these away. They're absolutely free. All you've got to do is write to us and tell us where you're hearing the broadcast, and let us know where you're hearing this broadcast today. We like to get that information. You can write to us, simply write to us at Consider His Word Ministries, 30290 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. Again, write to us at Consider His Word Ministries, 30290 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, 33440. We look forward to hearing from you. We'd love to get one of these prayer journals in your hand. Now, while we're speaking about prayer, we're in Colossians chapter 1. This is the last of this series of messages. And if you'd like to hear all of the messages and hear all of them get together, you can go to the website and they're all there. And just go back to the dates and you can find those broadcasts and hear them from their website. And there's some other places as well, but you can get all of these, and if you'd like the outline, the rough outline of this series, I'd be happy to send that to you as well, and you can write to us at the addresses we mentioned before. Just contact us through the website is fine. So we're in Colossians chapter 1, and Paul is writing to this little church at Colossae. Let me read what he said to them. This is Colossians 1, beginning in verse 9. He said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. When Paul wrote to them, he said, I cease not to pray for you and desire. And so Paul wrote to them the things that he wanted for them. And when someone asks you to pray for them, it's important to say, well, what is your desire? What do you want me to pray for? Sometimes we don't know. And so here's a great way to pray for them. And you know, even when they do give you a prayer request, you can pray for these things as well. I've been praying these things for my children. What a great way to pray for your children. Now, there's several things here. Notice he first of all said that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom. Pray that they would know and understand God's will. Secondly, he said that you might walk worthy of the Lord with all pleasing, that their life would be pleasing to God, that as they find God's will and do God's will, that they would be pleasing to God in all good works. The third thing he asked for them was that they would be strengthened. He said, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And today we come to the last thing, and I think it's really kind of attached to all of these other three. But he would pray, and his desire was that they would give thanks to the Father, that they would be grateful. And I think particularly here and in the context of the following verses, and we'll go through some of these, that he was saying that they would be thankful for their salvation. Now, you know what happens when we're not thankful? And I'm sure you've been around people who were ungrateful. When we become ungrateful and thankful, we become critical. And we just begin to criticize everything. Now, once I worked with a man. It was a young man that just criticized everything. So much so that you didn't even want to be around him. I mean, he criticized the people he worked with. He criticized the people he worked for. He criticized the people he had to work with. And I mean, just everything, he was critical. And you knew that if you got around him, he was going to criticize something. And I really believe this was a man who was ungrateful. He didn't seem to be thankful for anything. He left. It was several years later, actually not that long, maybe about a year and a half or less, that we got word that he had gone to work and just had a heart attack. And I really think God just took him out because he was so ungrateful and critical. And so Paul's prayer was them that they would be grateful, that they would be thankful unto the Father. It's interesting that we come to this now because, you know, Thanksgiving is just around the corner and we're beginning to prepare for that. And we begin to ask people, what are you thankful for? And at Thanksgiving time, we think about those things and we talk about them. We ask the question. And often we just ask the children and they give us these kind of cliched answers, I guess. And I hope you truly are thankful. And if you know the Lord, that you're thankful for your salvation. I think really that's what he's talking about in the context of this passage of Scripture. He said, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet or has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, what is that inheritance? That we would be thankful for this inheritance. He saved us, and when he did, he gave us an inheritance. That inheritance, I believe, was heaven. That is, inheritance was the blessings that we enjoy in knowing the Lord and walking the Lord and experiencing the abundant life in him. But he also said that he not only gave us that inheritance, but he delivered us from the power of darkness. When you look at your life and realize what it was like before you got saved, you were in darkness and walked in darkness. You kind of just stumbled around and had no direction and no sense of what to do or where to go or how to live. You were walking in darkness, and when you got saved, God brought us into that light. He went on and said, he delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. You realize that when you came into the kingdom, you came into the light. And now you live in the light. You walk in the light. Jesus said, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. When he said, translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, the word translated means to be transferred. And we were transferred from the kingdom of this world, where Satan is the king, and transferred into the kingdom of heaven. God changed our eternal address. He changed my eternal address from hell to heaven. What a great blessing that is, not only to know that, but to have that. And boy, we ought to be thankful for that every day. That God loved us like he loved us, with a love that was unspeakable, a love that was just had no limits. And he loved you with such great depth of love, so much that he would send his own son to die on the cross for your sin. And that in him, we would have that redemption. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, redemption, remember, is that he bought you. He paid for you. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then later in Romans 6:23, he said, the wages of sin is death. Now, wage is something that you get paid for. And the wage of sin, your payment for sin, is death. There's no question about that. When you stand before the judge, there is one sentence, and that is death. There's one verdict. You're guilty. The Bible goes on and says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, O Lord. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he redeemed you. He paid for you. And that price came in blood. He paid by his own death on the cross. And I hope you're grateful for that, that he paid that price for you, died for you, so that you could have eternal life, so you could have the abundant life. And Paul here mentions that you would have the forgiveness of sin. When he speaks here of forgiveness, it means that God would no longer hold that sin against you. It's gone. It's gone. And he would remove that sin and forgive you of that sin and treat you like it never happened. All you need, the forgiveness of God in your life. And you get that by receiving Christ as your Savior. Now remember, this was Paul's prayer for them, that they would be thankful. And he knew when they would be thankful for their salvation, that they would get their eyes on God and not on the things going on around them. And there be able to find the will of God. And live for God, and live in the strength of God. This was his prayer for them. When someone asked, pray for me, here is how you can pray. That they would walk in the will of God, living for God, in his strength, being grateful. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Wisdom for tomorrow, today. His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know he's sovereign in his ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider his word. Consider his word. Consider his word.
Thanks for listening today. Like us on Facebook and visit our website at considerhisword.org. This is Pastor Arlen Payne saying, till next time, God bless you as you consider his word.
Consider his word.